I don't know if you know this, but there is a top 10 list of favorite songs that Catholics like to sing. I know. Did you know that? One of those songs is, I think it's a song that we're going to sing a little bit later. It's called "Here I Am, Lord." Remember that one? Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord? And you know, although that song's not nearly as old as some of the other songs on the list, it's really grabbed hold of people's imagination. And I think it's because it really touches on something that's very central. And that something is that all of us really want to do what is asked of us. You know, as you know, as you look out and ask all of you, if somebody comes up and says, "Can you do something for me?" You know, we all have the desire to say, "Yes, I want to do that. Here I am. Here I am. You know, I come to do your will." And probably no more is this prevalent than when if we think about God asking us to do something. And say, "Yes, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." So I think there's that real part of us that wants to respond to God. And so if we listen to God, and we say, well, what would God want us to do? You know, we listened to the words from the prophet Isaiah this morning and says, "I have made you my servant through whom I will show my glory." And then a little bit later in that passage, he goes on, he said, it's not enough just for you to be a follower of mine. I will make you a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. You know, it's like God says, you know, I'm not asking you to do something that's kind of inconsequential. I'm asking you to be a light to the nations, to bring salvation to the world. Now, that probably triggers in us probably the other response that is almost as equally as strong as our desire to do what people ask, and that is, oh my gosh, what's going to happen if they ask me to do something that I don't think I can do? How am I going to do that? Sometimes it's a little bit like, you know, when your parents, they, you know, and all of a sudden these babies come along. And what mother or father has not said at one time or another, maybe just to themselves, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do this? And then, especially, you know, if things come along and you think this, life takes an unexpected journey, and then we say, wow, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this at all, you know. So we got the desire to do what God wants, but also that, am I going to be able to do this, you know. So if we listen more to the scripture passages today, and we say, well, God, what are you asking me to do? And I was looking at some parts of Psalm 40 that was part of our reading today. And the first thing is that God says, you know, it's not that I want sacrifices or burnt offerings. It's like, I'm not asking you to just kind of go do a lot of extra things. Here's what he said, here's what I want from you. Ears open to obedience. Ears open to obedience. Now, we have to step back from that a little bit and say, obedience is one of those words that sometimes doesn't set well with us, you know, because what we do is we think about obedience at the lowest level you can have, and that is, I say, and you do. You know, now, Cale, I'm looking at you and your brother, and I'm looking at your dad here, and you know, it's like when they were little kids, you'd say, I told you to do this, and they say, well, why? Because I'm your dad, and that's what you're going to do. And, you know, that may have worked until they sort of grew up, and then all of a sudden, when you're looking at, because I told you to do it, it doesn't quite work anymore, does it? You know? And really, you know, that kind of motivation is not going to get it. It's not going to be founded in love. It's not going to be very life-giving. So the obedience that I think God is talking about is to listen with the ear of your heart. You know, in other places in Scripture, we hear God say through the prophets, "I will be your God, and you will be my people. And I've written my law, my vision upon your heart." And so, when we're trying to say, "Well, what is it that God wants us to do?" It's like we have to listen with the ears of our heart. And you know, when you try to do that, it's not like you're gonna hear at 18 what you're supposed to do and it never changes. I think the truth is as you journey through life and you start facing different things, and all of a sudden you listen again and say, What is it that you want me to do? I think probably if I look back at my life and said when I started out, it was I was probably motivated by I got to do things the right way, and I have to be responsible, and I have to take care of things, and that probably, if I was trying to listen as much as I could, you know. That's what I was trying to do. But I tell you, as I've gotten older, I'm getting a lot different messages because I'm thinking this is probably another consequence of my dealing with my broken kneecap, you know, because in my life it's kind of like there was that time before September 13th, and now, and it's like life is different, you know? And if you say, well, what are you supposed to do? And when I try to listen with the ears of my heart, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, my role is maybe to learn how to live in life and to forgive life, you know, for not being very perfect, and to forgive life for being very inconsistent. It probably grows out of a conviction that I had, because it's like, you know, there's reason for me being in the world because I know the right thing to do, and I know the right way to be. But that can be a real curse, because very often people don't live up to that. And truth be told, if I look at my life, I didn't live up to that either. And so one of the great challenges is learning how to forgive life for being very, very inconsistent. And I think this is what God says. God says, I can love people and I can stand with them, and I can accept the good that they do, even in the midst of all the stuff that they do that's not very good. I was just thinking about an example from history. I like history and I read history. Reading about Thomas Jefferson, who must have been a very smart person and probably pretty much wrote the Declaration of Independence on his own. I think I identify with Thomas Jefferson because when he wrote it, he thought he had written it the way it was supposed to be. And then John Adams came in there and Benjamin Franklin came in there and said, you need to change this word and you need to say this. And Thomas Jefferson is sitting there saying, it was right the way I wrote it. But aside from that, sometimes from a historical perspective, we kind of forget how significant something like a Declaration of Independence was that said, people can govern themselves, the will of the people, which was unheard of. And no other country did that. And most people, when they looked at what Jefferson wrote, said, nobody does that. So here's Thomas Jefferson, and he writes some beautiful words and says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. That's beautiful words, beautiful words. Now, the other side of that is he was probably writing that as his slaves were cleaning his house and fixing his dinner and fixing him a cup of tea so he could write these words. And you say, hey, Thomas, didn't you see the inconsistencies there? And then if you really want to know this, when he said all men are created equal, he meant all men. He didn't mean women. And he really had a restricted notion of men, and that was men who own property. So if you didn't own property and you weren't a man, this didn't apply to you. And now, of course, now Rachel, when you listen to that, I can just imagine you saying, ain't gonna happen now, buddy. Right? It's like, and you look at him and you say, how could you not see that? How could you not see that? How could you be so blind as to not see that? But yet, the great thing about God is that God looks at all the stuff that we do and says, yeah, that's good, and I can honor the good and overlook the other stuff and not throw it all out. That's what I mean by learning to forgive life for being inconsistent. And if we look at that, that's just everywhere. And ultimately, we say we have to be able to do that because maybe 50 or 60 years or 200 years down the road, people will be looking at us and saying, you know what they believed back then? How could they not see what we see now? It's perfectly obvious to us. How come they didn't see that? We're inconsistent too, But if we can, when you think about it, how do you bring my salvation to the world or be a light to the nations? I really think that learning how to forgive life for all of the inconsistencies and to know that God has been willing to do that from the beginning of time. From the beginning of time. And God can look at the good that we do and say, I can work with that. To have that kind of a presence can be a real light to the world. But I often wonder now, for all of us, as we try to listen with the ear of our heart, we may be called to be doing different things. But I think if we learn to listen and be obedient on that level, then all of us can be a light to the world. And we can say, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. So now today,